Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press. It is Monday, and it's great to have you here with us as we start a new week. And we have plenty to talk about as we go over the outright market and the first odds that we see for this week's PGA Tour event, the Genesis Invitational. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Good to have you here. We have a great week in store, perhaps even better than what we had at TPC Scottsdale for the WM or the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Scottie Scheffler successfully defended his title, becoming the first since Hideki Matsuyama a handful of years ago to do that, and did so in really interesting, pretty impressive fashion, given that Scheffler said he didn't have his best stuff on Sunday, still shot 65. Nick Taylor, for his part, the Canadian, was game all day, also shot 65, but that was not good enough, even though he was certainly in it with four holes to play, five holes to play, but the real transition point and what locked it up for Scottie Scheffler was 16, when all three players in the final group missed the green. Rahm was out of it at that point. Nick Taylor hit a really nice pitch shot to leave himself about 6 feet, 5 feet for par with a tricky putt. And before that, Scheffler made his par on a really speedy putt that, I mean, if he hits it poorly, it can actually go off the green. And that was the momentum change that was enough to secure Scheffler's win, which was two strokes. First time in several years, really had a multi-stroke win in this tournament, so that was a bit of a change. But Nick Taylor was absolutely a game player and played really, really well on Sunday, just wasn't good enough. So Scheffler is back to number one in the official world golf ranking. He talked about this earlier in the week, saying that he didn't like being number two in the world. He wanted to be number one again. He had that opportunity. He took it, and now in the last 364 days, Scottie Scheffler has won five PGA Tour events, and he has won some of the most difficult PGA Tour events in terms of stacked fields. So we figured out what Scheffler likes, and that might be a good reason to like him again this week. So we transition to the Genesis Invitational, which is at the Riviera Country Club. The town technically is Pacific Palisades, California, but for all intents and purposes, this is Los Angeles. I played Riviera. It's one of my favorite golf courses ever. It's one of the best golf courses they play on the PGA Tour, if not the best golf course they play all year on the PGA Tour outside the majors. And it is a demanding golf course. It's fairly lengthy, 7,400 yards from the tips. There are holes that are half pars one way or the other. There are holes that just demand you drive the ball really, really well. The Kikuyu grass is very tricky, particularly from the rough. You need to be in play. The putting surfaces are not easy. They can be very speedy, and they can get kind of bumpy later in the day because there is poa in them to a degree. So you have to be aware of that. And there are just a lot of places that look wide open off the tee, but realistically you have a much smaller landing area because of the kinds of angles you need to take to be successful in this golf course. And if you look over the last few years, we've seen winners of this golf tournament that were not necessarily the expected winner, that weren't a player that was in the 20 or shorter range, between Joaquin Niemann and Max Homa. I'll even go back to Adam Scott. You've had winners that are unexpected, but the thing that they all do very well is they strike the ball really well. So while most weeks of the year we can just run our model and be very confident in that, and I think we were last week with Phoenix, you have to look this week in particular at strokes gained on the approach. I want to know what players are gaining strokes on the approach in aggregate over our model length of time of 1 year and 2 years. But I also want to know, really, in the last 10 to 15 tournaments, who's really gaining strokes on the approach, and try to identify a golfer that maybe doesn't factor as highly into our longer-term model that could be a really good play here this week. And we said this last week, that the likelihood of finding a deep shot winner was pretty remote because you had 37, 38 of the world top 50 competing in Phoenix. This week we have 40 competing at Riviera, which makes it even more difficult. If you look at the top 100 players who are eligible to compete this week, I think but one is not playing. I mean, this is an homage to Tiger in some sense, but also respect for this tournament, respect for Riviera, and obviously the purse doesn't hurt things. Same $20 million purse. So, with that in mind, stacked field, unlikely to land a long shot winner, but knowing we've had some longer shots win the last couple of years, let's look at the overall board for the outright market. John Rahm leads the way 7.5-1. Scottie Scheffler is already moved. He was not equal with McIlroy, as best I saw in a couple books, so he has already moved a little bit. He is 10-1 with Rory McIlroy. Justin Thomas is 14-1. Xander Schauffele is 16-1. Tony Finau, 18-1. Colin Morikawa, runner-up here, 20-1, along with Max Homa. Victor Hovland, who has a surprisingly good record here, is 25-1. We'll come back to him. Sungjae Im, a guy I probably will hammer a little bit this week, 25, along with Patrick Cantlay, who has played this tournament well. Sam Burns, not really on Bermuda this week. I'm probably going to stay away at 28-1. Kim Young is 30, along with Jordan Spieth. Will Zalatoris really intrigues me this week. He's 35, along with Tom Kim and Hideki Matsuyama, who's got a good record here. Matt Fitzpatrick is 40-1, along with Jason Day, which, by the way, could you have imagined me 6 months ago saying Jason Day was 40-1 to win a PGA Tour event with a depth of field like this? That's a pretty incredible comeback from that guy in terms of what he's been able to put together, and it seems like the win is building. I don't know if it's this week, but the win is building. Tyrrell Hatton, who played really well last week, 45-1. Adam Scott, a guy you probably want to look at as a horse for course play, and he's well rested. Didn't play last week, 50-1. Yeah, that's a good number for our next champion. Ricky Fowler is 60-1. He is building, but doesn't have a huge record here. It's not the best. Sahith Theegala is 70-1, along with Justin Rose. Guys won recently. Keegan Bradley, 75. Wyndham Clark, 80. Like that a little bit longer, along with Shane Lowry. Tommy Fleetwood, Taylor Montgomery, Russell Henley, Nick Taylor, all 90-1. Then we're starting to get into hundreds. Again, I don't think we're getting that this week, but Corey Connors, Brian Harman, Tiger Woods, Siwoo Kim, Alex Noren interests me. Those guys are at 100, and then we'll just do the 110s here, which is Tom Hoagie, Adam Hadwin, and Keith Mitchell, who does interest me at 110-1. And then you start going much deeper than that. I'm not firing on any bombs this week. Not like that, you know, not above 100. And even the ones we took last week, where we took Chris Kirk 180, clear misprint, something didn't seem right there at DraftKings, and then pretty quickly went to 100, then went to 80. People kind of took that misprice and went with it, and it didn't work out. But you need to be able to look at the marketplace and say, look, this thing doesn't make sense. I got to play it just on principle. Doesn't have to be for a lot of money, but if things don't make sense, you've got to be able to discern that and just take your chance. And I think that's one of those last week where it's like, yeah, like I said, as I prefaced it when I bet it, probably not going to hit, but I'll be darned if I'm not going to bet it, given what Chris Kirk had been doing in his last two starts, finishing in third place in those last couple of starts. Now, we have some horse for course plays this week, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in tomorrow's show, but I think it's worth noting here, and then we'll go into more depth about it. But if you look at some of the horse for course plays, they kind of are obvious because they're great players. It's not necessarily a whole lot of, oh, I didn't know that about that guy. Patrick Cantlay has been in the top 15 here 3 of the last 4 years. It makes a whole lot of sense. Tony Finau, same thing. Probably should have beaten Max Homa here a couple of years ago in the playoff. Did not do that, but he has a couple of runner-ups in this tournament in the last 5 years. Then you're going to look at someone like Max Homa, who loves this tournament, has won here and has been in the top 10 the last 3 years. 20-1 sounds good to me. We talked about Victor Hovland, top 5 the last 2 years. This course doesn't really make sense for him, but I'm willing to run with that. Then get down a little bit further. Siwoo Kim has a decent finish here, which is kind of surprising to me, if I'm being candid. Hideki Matsuyama, couple top 10s. Rory McIlroy, 3 top 10s in the last 4 years. Plays this golf course well. Like I said, Colin Morikawa, winner, runner-up last year. Alex Noren, a T12 here 2 years ago. Worth looking at. He's playing good, solid golf here. John Rahm, couple of solid finishes. Patrick Rogers is probably the one guy that's going to stand out to people because he's played well into the top 15 two of the last 3 years. I'm not necessarily willing to wager on him to win this tournament given what's in front of him, but maybe a top 20 wager on him. Xander Schauffele is going to get a lot of attention as a horse-for-course pick. He has not finished inside the top 8 here in the last 5 years, but he's finished outside the top 15 once. So he solidly gets this tournament, and that's kind of the extent of it. Adam Scott, as I said, won here in 2020. He was 4th last year, 7th in 2019. Again, he's probably properly priced. 50 is worth that chance. You want some really spooky players that might get your attention that are a little bit deeper of a shot. Vaughn Taylor isn't even in the field here, which is a shame, but he would have been a worth a wager. A couple of top 15s, top 13s in the last 4 years. Justin Thomas, 3 top 9 finishes in the last 5 years, plays this tournament well. And then a couple of live guys that are interesting. I think one guy that a lot of people are going to overlook this week, and I think is worth at least a little bit of a wager, is Will Zalatoris. He's obviously still trying to kind of get things back right where he was before the back injury during the playoffs last season. And he's not playing that much. I understand all of that. And he skipped last week. But he was T11 in the Tournament of Champions. He played okay with 4 rounds in the 60s at the American Express. Did not play well at Torrey. I don't even know how you would expect that, to be honest with you. That just doesn't seem like a golf course that Will Zalatoris should really like, given the punishment of Torrey South. But he hasn't played since, which means he's pretty well rested. I think this could be a golf course that he could really step into this weekend and really enjoy playing well at. So those are kind of your first looks, but I think you got to bet Homa. I think you got to bet Hovland. Sungjae doesn't have the track record here. I really am interested in him, though. I will run my model probably a little bit later today. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll see if I actually go with that or not. I don't want to wager Xander to win here at 16-1. I am playing him in 1-and-done, but I do not want to wager him at 16-1 to win because despite all of his good finishes, he hasn't won here yet. And I think Tom Kim's going to draw quite a bit of interest at 35-1. This is a ball strikers golf course. You don't have to be the longest hitter to do well here. Look at the guys who have won in recent memory. None of them were long hitters, even though it feels like a longer golf course. I think you have to keep that in mind. And that could draw some attention to Justin Rose in particular. Keegan Bradley will probably get some attention here as well, given even before the 5-year window that we're looking at, that he has an okay record in this golf tournament. And I would be I think there are going to be some people that slam Corey Conners and Brian Harman, but I would look at Alex Noren if you're going to take your deep shot here. He just plays solid golf. He's not a long hitter. I'm not saying he's going to win, but that feels a little bit mispriced to me. Again, a $5, $10 wager, depending on what your unit size is, it's really not that big a deal. And if you get lucky, hey, you got lucky. But if you look at his record in recent memory, yes, he missed the cut last week in Phoenix. But if you look at his record before that, T5 in Abu Dhabi, tied for 2nd in Dubai in the DP World Tour Championship, T4 in the Houston Open. He's playing pretty solid golf, and I think he was probably tired out on travel going from Abu Dhabi to Phoenix, but that's okay. I know he had the week of having to not deal with going to the Dubai Desert Classic, but could be worn out, could have been just the stage, you never know. But he wasn't going to skip a $20 million tournament. I think this is a place he can like and maybe do well. So I'm probably going to fire on him at 100-1. I probably will take him a couple of different ways. As a win bet, we don't have the top 10s and 20s yet. Those markets will come out soon enough, but we don't have those as we're recording them right now. Also want to look at the history of this tournament, because if you look over the last, we try to look over the last 10 years when you're looking at the history of a tournament, and we have this again up for free at golfnewsnet.com. If you look at the last handful of years of this event, we'll go over the winners and the winning margin. So Joaquin Niemann by two, Max Homa in a playoff, Adam Scott by two, J.B. Holmes inexplicably by one, Bubba Watson, Dustin Johnson, Bubba Watson, James Hahn out of nowhere, Bubba Watson. So we don't really have a whole lot to indicate to us that you always get the cream of the crop, but we do tend to see a correlation between success at Augusta National and here. And I tend to look at it the other way. If you succeed here, you will probably succeed in April. But that doesn't necessarily hold up, because someone named John Merrick, who was one of the co-founders of Travis Matthew and then wound up leaving professional golf, he won this tournament. Bill Haas has won this tournament. Aaron Baddeley has won this tournament. So there are years where you get incredible winners, multi-time major champions, Bubba and Dustin. And sometimes you get guys like J.B. Holmes and John Merrick, and you go, how does that happen on the same golf course? But this is a great tournament. I think we're going to have a great week. So I would look in the 20 to 50 range to try to find your guys you're thinking about most this week. Maybe get on a couple of guys that are shorter. Obviously, we're thinking about Homa. I would authorize Tony Finau at 18. I'd love Morikawa and Homa and Hovland. All those guys I could get behind very easily, get behind Cantlay easily. And then you kind of start to dig out of, do you like Adam Scott at 50 or not? Do you want to try Keegan Bradley or Justin Rose? That's probably where you're thinking here. Do you want to try someone like a Corey Connors, who's a great ball striker, doesn't hit the ball very far? Or do you want to go with like an Alex Noren as your deep shot? You want to entertain someone like a Keith Mitchell? Do you want to entertain someone like Denny McCarthy, who just had a great tournament, but is not the best driver of the golf ball? But he also is a very good ball striker and a good putter. So does that get mitigated on these POA surfaces? Well, he just did really well at Pebble, so maybe he's moving up a little bit at 130-1. That's kind of an intriguing number to me as well. All right, we will get through our model this evening, posted at golfnewsnet.com for all of our members. You can check that out with a membership. It's $50 a year. It stays that price through the end of February. Then we're bumping it up to $99 or $100 per year. Sign up at golfnewsnet.com for all that and our expanding group of tools that are available to members. Well, we will go over our top 10 in the model tomorrow. We'll talk about first round leader bets. We'll hopefully have some tee times to maybe gander at when we record this, but probably not, depending what the PGA Tour chooses to do with that. And we'll see who's playing with Tiger Woods over the first 2 days. And we got an interesting prop on him, a yes to make the cut. It's plus 250. I haven't decided yet whether I'm going to hammer that, but that may be something you may want to entertain here. And we'll get into some more props for the week as well. I'm Ryan Ballingy saying thank you for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow on The Press.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.